Inside the rocking, rattling stage, Lou Profit shifted uncomfortably in his forward-facing seat. Within the tiny confines in which Profit and six other passengers had been sealed like slugs in a revolver cylinder, the air hung hot, heavy, dusty, and reeking with sweat. They were high on the high Wyoming plains, but it was still damn hot, and no one was more aware of it than Profit, clad in widow's weeds, a woman's high-buttoned black dress with a cape and stitched white collar. The collar pinched his neck until he felt as though the blood had been cut off from his brain. His neck itched so bad he felt like ripping the dress open and hacking at himself with the Arkansas toothpick hanging from a rawhide strap down his back. Under the pillow strapped to his chest, giving him a bosom the size of a stock trough, sweat ran in rivers down his belly. The matching black hat with a gauzy black veil didn't help matters. It sealed the heat inside his body, making him feel like a boiling English teapot. The black square-heeled shoes, the largest he could find, were two sizes too small, which made keeping his feet set primly together beneath the hard plank bench as demanding as keeping mum while rats chewed your privates. An elbow poked his ribs. He turned to his left and looked down at his partner, Louisa Bonaventure, clad in a summery, yellow, form-fitting dress and looking for all the world like a wholesome young parson's daughter on her way to a church picnic. She smiled up at Prophet sweetly, pushed up on her tiny rump, and cupped her hands around her mouth.
Stop squirming, you big idiot.
She drew away, her feigned smile so bright that her cheeks dimpled, but Prophet recognized the tartness in her hazel-eyed gaze. He leaned sideways, nudging her shoulder, smiling the old lady smile he'd practiced so well.
I can't help it.
He turned to the window again, clutching the lumpy leather reticule in his lap. As he did so, he caught a glimpse of the man sitting directly across from him. Since the man had boarded the stage in Rosehawk, he'd either been checking his tarnished silver pocket watch every 10 minutes or making eyes at Louisa. He was staring at her again now, his eyes hooded and leering. Louisa ignored him, staring out the window to her right. Prophet eyed the man through his veil. He had hard case written all over him, from his unruly long blonde hair falling down from his shabby bowler to his hatchet face, which he tried to soften with a pair of tiny, green-tinted rectangular spectacles riding high on a long, broad nose. He wore a black suit with a fawn-colored vest and polished brogans, but the worn cartridge belt and long-barreled Remington tied low on his right thigh gave the lie to the cheap gambler's duds. Prophet shuttled his gaze around the stage, quickly taking in the portly businessman reading a newspaper on the other side of Louisa, and the plain-faced young woman clad in homespun cotton and holding a blanket-wrapped infant. The girl's stocky husband, dressed like a farmer, sat between her and the hard case, directly across from Louisa. The young man's chin was tipped to his chest, revealing the tattered, sun-faded crown of his black felt hat trimmed with a red squirrel's tail. The hard case again plucked his tarnished silver watch from his vest pocket, flipped the lid, glanced at the face, and casually returned the old turnip to its pocket. He gave the passing countryside, a forested ridge beyond a meadow splashed with wildflowers, a casual glance, then sat back in his seat and returned his leering gaze to Louisa, his eyes flickering across the girl's small, firm mounds, pushing at the yellow cloth. Instinctively protective of Louisa, while knowing she needed little protection, Prophet felt the urge to kick the man's knee with one of his stout black shoes, but restrained himself. As though sensing Prophet's acrimony, the hard case turned to him.
Sure is a lovely, fine young lady traveling with you today, ma'am.
Prophet swallowed his anger and considered a feminine response. He practiced a high-pitched voice on Louisa before boarding the stage, and they'd both agreed he should open his mouth as little as possible. Prophet smiled behind his veil.
Yes, sirree. She sure looks like a mighty civilized young lady.
Why, thank you, sir. I do endeavor to make myself an asset to society.
The man glanced at Prophet, the bridge of his nose wrinkling distastefully.
You two can't be related.
Prophet stared at the man, straining to maintain his mute, witless smile.
Of course we are. Aunt Eloise is my dearly departed mother's older sister.
You don't say. Sure ain't much of a family resemblance.
The hard case tilted his head as he shuttled his gaze back to Louisa.
Will you say Aunt Eloise and I switch places?
Why would you want to do that?
So we can get better acquainted. Maybe snuggle a little.
I don't snuggle with strangers, sir.
You don't? A pretty little piece of poontang like you? Shame.
What did you call me, sir?
Prophet hoped Louisa would keep a lid on her rage. You never knew what she would do one moment to the next. Smiling gently, Prophet placed a hand on the girl's thigh, silently commanding her to ignore the man.
Come on, Auntie. Let's switch places.
The hard case's eyes went snaky flat as they again strayed to Louisa's pert bosom and continued down her slender but well-turned legs sheathed in the form-fitting dress. The man slid forward on his seat. Prophet's smile tightened into a silent warning. Beside the hard case, the sleeping young farmer bobbed his head, chin grazing his chest. The farmer's wife rocked the child from side to side. She watched Louisa, Prophet, and the hard case, a nervous look on her moist, unadorned features. The businessman glanced at the hard case and quickly buried his face again in his newspaper.
Come on, Auntie, let's switch places. You'll get a change of scenery and I'll get acquainted with your lovely niece.
Aunt Eloise appreciates your concern, sir, but she gets sick when riding backwards. We wouldn't want her getting sick on the stage. After all the pig's liver and buttermilk she ate at the last way station.
The hard case's features blanched, and his grin quickly faded. Compressing his lips with defeat, he sat back against the stage's front wall. He said nothing, but his frustrated, lusty eyes played openly over Louisa's body for the next 5 minutes.
Oh, my word, what was that?
Yes, what was that?
She, too, was staring out the right side windows, where several horsemen could be seen, galloping across the meadow on an interception course with the stage. Prophet did his best to look surprised, and craned his neck to look out the window with everyone else. Everyone but the hard case, that is. Prophet turned back to the hard case, who waved his Remington, grinning with smoky delight.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is a holdup. Everyone just stay calm and don't try anything funny.
The hard case concentrated his attention on the young farmer and the portly businessman, who regarded him fearfully, hands raised.
Whoa, whoa!
The Concorde rocked and bounced as it slowed. Prophet, Louisa, and the businessman had to grab the hanging ceiling straps to keep from being thrown forward.
You boys throw down your weapons and you won't get hurt.
Four riders appeared around the stage, the blonde dust sifting around them. Three aimed pistols. A fourth man, a tall, bull-necked hombre with full red sideburns and crazy eyes, leveled a heavy double-barreled shotgun at the Concord's right windows. Gents, Prophet thought with grim satisfaction and a healthy dose of caution, meet J.D. Brennan of the Thorson Mahoney Gang. Brennan was the gang's newest member, having escaped a federal lockup in Arkansas after strangling three guards and slitting the throat of a fourth with a sharpened chicken bone. The reward for him alone was $500, more than enough to give any bounty hunter, including the big-spending, womanizing Prophet, one hell of a shindified night in Denver City. If he lived long enough to collect it, that is.
You hear me, Auntie? I said get your fat ass outside and be damn quick about it.
Prophet clumsily gained his feet. All the passengers but Louisa had already disembarked. She took Prophet's hand. The young mother had left her baby on the stage, apparently believing it safer there.
Come, Auntie. Don't be afraid. We'll be all right. I promise we will.
Prophet knew the fear to be total play-acting. The girl had killed more men than Billy the Kid would not have blanched at a Diamondback under her pillow.